The reading can be found on page 954 of the Pew Bibles and is taken from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is the word of God.
Thanks. Thanks.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, my Lord.
Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 23. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I'll also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' And if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "Well, we don't know." Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, you're going to work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I won't.' Later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. He answered, 'I go, sir.' But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. And Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you didn't change your minds and believe him.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Dear Lord, we pray you'll take those scriptures we've heard this morning and make them live in our hearts and help us to be those who go and do your will. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, what are we doing here this morning? Why have you come? Well, I've come to sing. Michael's come to play. I've come to celebrate. John's come to do most of the service. You've come to sing, to pray, to be together. But what are we going to do this morning? It's a bit like a drama. Some people have said that the communion service is a drama. And indeed it is. It's meant to be. It's meant to catch us by the throats and move us. I shall stand here a bit later on, just as Jesus might have stood
or been seated at the table at the Last Supper. And we'll take bread. And we'll pour out wine. And we'll have a meal together as the family of God. And we remember the words Jesus said. We do it every Sunday, every time we have communion. He took the bread, he blessed God for it, he broke it, and he shared it. And he said, "This is my body. Come and feed on the broken bread and the poured out wine." That's the drama, and there's only one act.
Peter preached a marvellous sermon last week with 3 points. How long does it take to preach a sermon with no points? I'm trying to make one point, but you'll see there are several. Jesus' stories to us today are about hypocrisy. Oh, yes, I'll go. But he didn't. No, I'm not going. But he did. And Jesus put the question to the people, which one was actually doing what the Father wanted? And, of course, it was the first. Now, I've just swapped it around, wasn't it? It was the one who said he wouldn't go, but did. Now, hypocrisy was really Jesus' number one sin. And you can understand, as we'll see as we go on, why it was such a terrible sin to him. Jesus would have been speaking in Aramaic, but the word hypocrite is always translated in the New Testament as literally the Greek word, hypokritos. And that Greek word meant play actor. It's very interesting. One of the politicians in, I think, the 4th century before before Christ was speaking in the Greek parliament, and he was talking to his opponent, and he said, "You're a play actor." That's what they used the word for. Someone who was pretending. Somebody who wasn't ready to fulfill his promises to the people. Now, it's a very interesting word, and as we've read that epistle, wonderful epistle this morning from Philippians, and as we've listened to the gospel, I think it actually ties together in a very strange way. And first of all, let me try and explain why I think for Jesus it probably was the worst sin. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now there, if you like, was Jesus' script. In the play of life, for Jesus, that was what he had to do. But he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can you imagine a life of 33 years hiding that fact? Can you imagine what it was like to be the light of light and the God of gods, with your compassion pouring out to do something to rescue the world, and he had to keep quiet about it and make chairs and tables and be nice to the customers? Look, one of the legs has come off. I brought it back. Or we can imagine how Jesus dealt with it. Oh, like you as a human being. I'm sure Jesus had a sort of fairly sharp reply for people sometimes. But he was, of course, playing a part. But it wasn't a part, because he was humble. He did forget himself. Even when he came into the public eye, he forgot himself and cared for the sheep that he was come to shepherd. He may have been King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he was willing to humble himself down and down and down until eventually he got the most ironic part to play of all, that of victim, that of guilty, that of deserving death. And yet he was the Lord of life. Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus to do that consistently, day after day, with a gang of disciples roughly like we are, and keep his integrity, keep his cool? It's amazing. That was the part that Jesus was playing. And it was a wonderful swap, wasn't it? He took on the death and the guilt, the burden of love, to set the whole universe free. And that's what we've come to celebrate. That's why we have his meal on his day and break his bread, because it feeds us. It's his body. It's the very expression of love poured out to the nth degree. And that's very humbling for us today. But it's a source of enormous joy, because when we're fed with the broken bread and the poured out wine, we're renewed. And it doesn't matter what a bunch of hypocrites we are. I would score, I think, 10 out of 10 there. It doesn't matter who we are, we're welcome. Because what Jesus did in that act was to renew us all, was to bring us back, was to forgive us to the depths of our being. 70 times 7, as Charles preached to us a fortnight ago. What it meant was limitless forgiveness, because the forgiveness was won as a limitless gift on the cross. And that's a great relief, because it means when we come into his family, we don't have to pretend. How can we pretend to God in any case? But we don't have to. We're loved as we are, where we are, even if we've done something for the 999th time that we didn't want to do. What Jesus says is, every Lord's Day, gather together as my family and be renewed and fed. Thank goodness. And what does it mean? It means we can begin to be the people that he wants us to be. One of my heroes is John Wesley. John Wesley, I was just reading through something, I think, from Bible Society the other day, and there was a quote from Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. I think that's a good motto for us at St. John's, and I think it's what we're doing, it's what we're about. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And the play Jesus invites us into today gives us the energy and the power and the hope to do that. Being an actor is not easy. Did you see Judi Dench being interviewed the other day? And the person interviewing her said, are you like any of the characters you play? And she said, oh goodness, no. I'm never like any of the characters I play. That's why I choose so many different characters. But I'm not going to tell you what I'm really like. That's my secret. James Dean. There's a dating sort of person to quote, isn't it? He said, being a good actor isn't easy. Being a man is even harder. I want to be both before I'm done. Will Smith said, "A rapper is about being completely true to yourself." But being an actor is changing what you are. And there's Jesus' challenge. Change. When we listen to his stories, they're wonderful stories, aren't they? But they're there to change us. They're there to give us hope. One more Wesley quote to just finish us off. I think I've given it to you before. He wrote to the Methodists, "As many persons desire to know where I am from this time until the conference, I here set down my route, which, if God permit, I shall keep till that time." In March, on the 15th, Monday the 15th, I shall be in Stroud, 16th Gloucester, 17th Worcester, 18th Stourport, 19th Birmingham. Little break for the weekend. Monday 22nd, Wensbury, 23rd, Dudley and Wolverhampton, 24th Madley, 25th Salop, 26th Madley. Don't know why they had to have a second visit. 27th Newcastle-under-Lyme, 28th Burslem. Break for the weekend. 29th Congledon, 30th Macclesfield. The conference was in May, and in April, between the 1st and the 29th, he visited 20 places from Stockport to Otley and then moved from York to Aberdeen. This is Wesley on his horse at the age of 86. Wow. Jesus says, "Will you go and work in the vineyard today?" And by his love and mercy, we can say yes. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful stories. We thank you for your amazing life. Help us to play the role of somebody resurrected, somebody deeply forgiven, somebody so much loved that in your spirit we can find love for all you send us to. For your glory's sake. Amen. Amen.